To his name, that's gonna go forth, and that sound is gonna break chains, and it's gonna just break barriers, and it's gonna go into every dark place, and it's gonna bring freedom and light. And that actually happened in the spirit, and I was seeing that, and I'm sure many of you were too, but it was just really awesome. And I just kept hearing the Lord. He was so pleased. He was said, "That's right, that's right, that's right, you got it, you got it." And he's just so pleased. He's so pleased.
I was asking the Lord this morning where you want to take this worship, Lord. What do you want to have happen next? All I could hear were the words, "Lean into me. Maintain my presence. Contend for my presence." Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You know, in this season that we're in right now, every season of our life is a new season. Every time in our life, the season that we're in right now is a time when the Lord is really desiring to teach us something very specific about him. He's teaching us how to do heaven. He's teaching us how to bring heaven to earth. He's teaching us what it means to really desire him above all else, which means he's teaching us how to stay and remain in his presence. That way we'll know his heart, we'll know his ways, we'll know what he's wanting to do next. That's really the goal. Eternity is the goal, but eternity is right now. Eternity is what's happening right now. And we're on this journey together. This journey is a journey of discovering heaven, heaven on earth, bringing heaven to earth. It's really a big deal. So if we feel like we have to strive to get into his presence, we're still at the beginning of the journey. The Lord says, I want to draw you so close to me that this journey becomes a journey of enthusiastic excitement, where we are so moved into his presence that we won't forget things. We won't say, "Oh, that's right." Things will be more real to us that are really centering around his presence. It's just amazing. I think about that a lot. I think, "Lord, I so want to stay tethered to you, focused and anchored. I want to have foundational points in my life where there are anchors, there are tent pegs, stakes in my life that are so secure that I can actually lean into where your wind is blowing, what your presence is saying and doing right now." We can never talk too much or speak too much about the presence of God. He says, "I'm drawing you into my presence, but I'm teaching you how to move. There's a momentum in my presence. I'm teaching you that." Things become much more important when we're in his presence than they would before. There's a sense of ownership about things of the Spirit in the presence of God. It's like, I don't understand it all, but I'm moved to do. I'm moved to think. I'm moved to remember. I'm moved to connect. That's what the presence does, the presence of God. So we have the privilege of seeing the manifestation, something that looks like something, right in front of our eyes, of the goodness of God. The manifestation of the goodness of God is our privilege, and we have a responsibility as we receive from the Lord to say, "Lord, I've got to know you. Got to know your ways. Got to know what you're thinking. Got to, Lord." It's that "got to" on the inside that absolutely has nothing to do with striving. Striving is push, 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 because I think I'm supposed to, rather than, because of him. I believe at one point today he walked in here, totally overwhelmed by his majesty. It didn't matter what anybody was doing, saying. It didn't matter. Nothing mattered other than Him. Wouldn't we go to all measure, go out? Wouldn't we give everything? Think of what we do in our lives. Wouldn't we just carve everything out of our lives to be able to see His eyes, to be able to touch Him? Wouldn't the things that we do to make church happen, wouldn't they become so small? Wouldn't our motivation be different? All of us, wouldn't it be? Where we're driving here thinking, I can't wait to experience more of Your presence, Lord. That would set our agendas differently. I know it would. We'd be looking at people coming in going, oh my goodness, there's hungry lions coming in to meet the Lion of Judah. Wow, that's what it's all about. That's really what it's all about. Nothing else really matters. The rest of it is all secondary. All our opinions, all of our thoughts, all of our strategies, all of our thinking, all of our preparing, all of our what we think is really important and really valuable absolutely will start to fall by the wayside more and more. It has to, because He designed us that way. Isn't that so fun? It's really who He is. He's saying, who I am is who I am. And I'm going to make myself known to you. Do you want me? Nothing is sweeter. Well, I should say one of the sweet things in life for me is when I am overseas. When I'm overseas, typically I'm around people I know, some, but also new people. And to be able to present accurately, specifically, in a targeted way, present and demonstrate Jesus. What else is life about? It's not what job we have tomorrow. It's not where we're going to go to school. It's not what it's going to look like when I get out of here for lunch, all of that. It's just all so not important compared to Him. And I believe today can be your day. I already said that to one person today. But I believe that today is your day. Today is your day. Today is your day to encounter Him really in a new way, a new way, new sound. I agree with Jamie that what happened today in the Spirit was amazing. You can sense and feel and taste of the goodness of God. Taste Him. Children can taste. If they're too busy doing something else because we think they might not behave, they can't taste. Tasting. Taste and see that I'm good. Taste me. Taste me. So I'm excited about what God's doing. Received a text from Pastor Bill this morning, and he was giving me a few updates. They're kicking it up in China. Wow. And I'm thinking, you know, God, so cool is that we're singing over China in this place. Singing over China. They just finished ministering to the underground church. Underground. Come on. We're above ground, and we still can't seem to make it here very easily. It just cracks me up, actually. But when you sit in front, you stand in front of people whose eyes are just filled with tears because they have the privilege of experiencing the Lord, and they come when the word spreads through the vine, the Americans are here. Come, bring your friends. Come on. And the Lord draws, says, I created you to experience me, and these ones will help lead you into an encounter. That's our portion, that's our privilege. It's so much more than, okay, there's some nations flooding in my mind. We're just going to sing something, and maybe something cool will happen. I feel close to God now. so small. So small. Lord saying, I'm out to change your thinking. Because when our thinking is truly changed, everything we do changes. Everything. So I got this text saying that there were many healings. Can you imagine? People who beat in an underground way, meaning they can't, it's against the law to corporately come to church on Sunday unless you're part of a very religious church. And there's one there that is okay on the books, but there's no life or very little. The Lord says in China, I'm bringing revival because I am touching hungry hearts. I'm touching people who dare to say, I need you. I need you. I need you. Not my house projects. I need you. Not my plans for what I'm going to do next. I need you. He wants to shift our sense of responsibility to accomplish all of those things, but never at the expense of when he shows up. No, never. So let me read to you what he said. Hey, God, such a good day this is. Great time with an underground church group this morning, many healings. I had a word of knowledge for a right ear, says my husband. And that person came forward from the group of less than 50, and he was healed. Lawrence had a word for backs, and many were healed. The team flowed with anointing, with inner healing, and the prophetic. Then we went to a hospital, prayed for a believer for her recovery from kidney surgery. Ministered to a girl in the next bed and especially her family. Her dad was blind and could see more light, more clearly. After they prayed, he prayed. Both parents received the Lord because the father saw a change. I would say that's pretty cool. That's good fruit. Let me read a few more here. Amazing, crazy adventure in China. We crossed easily into China in Guangzhou after our first train ride. This was a few days ago. We figured out the metro trains and traveled to a huge train station in Guangzhou. Then we ate lunch and waited about an hour and a half. We took out the guitars to play. People took pictures and video. I taught some to play a chord on the guitar. Students start chatting with us, and a guy played and sang his heart out for a few minutes. Some requested pictures with him, me, my husband. I received two email addresses. They helped at first to direct the train when it was time to go. Then the amazing craziness started as we made our way a long distance with a huge crowd upstairs and downstairs with all of our bags to the train. We had favor that we were in the first berth and that we were, but we were yelled at by an employee because we couldn't fit our huge bags fast enough and blocked other people from getting on. Fun chaos. Once settled into our berth, almost immediately, Elvin begins chatting with me right outside the berth. He is an English major, 19, no religion. Taught him a guitar chord after telling him good news. Elvin easily responds. He wants Jesus, and he prays right out. Had attended a Christian church service. He had one. He had never met a foreigner. Now he's met Jesus on the train. Elvin had to get off about an hour and 15 minutes after meeting him. I took pictures of him. We exchanged info. He was fruit, ready to be picked. So tender, so open, so ripe. We are all exhausted, but it's been worth it, of course, for the opportunity to bring good news fully to just one life, and the adventure has just started. They chose to take the train as an avenue for ministry, and because Jesus is outlawed there, you have to be very wise. And then another email said that this was the greatest fruit that they've had, and there's probably more stories. But it's going to continue, and they're in Kunming now, and Pastor Bill's leading a series of revival meetings, and we did that 4 years ago, and the glory cloud was there in midst. It was powerful, bringing heaven to earth. Revival meetings, not for the underground church, but for those who are foreigners from many, many different nations coming in with their families and experiencing the Lord. Many getting healed, delivered, not saved. Most of them were saved, but there were still some that had major, major stuff going on. And the Lord took them into another realm. So we're believing for a great wave for that. So I'm going to ask Sin to come on up and just pray for the China team. And I wanted to let you know that on Tuesday, we had mentioned that the team had taken off and there was a mishap with Pastor Bill's bag, his one carry-on. And so when he boarded the plane, as he was boarding the plane here in Canton going to Cleveland, they took his bag and they said, just give me your bag and we'll take it and put it underneath the plane. And so that he took a briefcase out of the carry-on bag, was another bag. And it was just a puddle jump over to Detroit. Gets to Detroit, no bag. And they said, sorry. Lots of rigmarole to go through. Bottom line, we prayed on Tuesday because in his bag was his Bible. And we shared a lot about this on Tuesday, and we really went after it. So, and some other things. And when I got home from church on Tuesday, there was a call from a lady. She said, hi, this is Regina. I'm down in New Orleans. And I have a bag that says Bill Gokey on it. Can you help me with that? So I told her the story, and they were trying to figure out where it came from. Apparently, it was left on the plane, and then it was... It continued on. Our people went on to China. This bag went on to New Orleans. So explained all of that. And she said when they get into Hong Kong, which is a major metropolitan city and the airport's huge, have them go to the bank, the bag check, and you know they'll let them know that it's coming in later that night. So anyway, I emailed and told him. But when he got off the plane, there was a man standing at the gate in this huge, you think of New York, think of Chicago, standing at the gate with a sign that says, William Happy Gokey. His name is Harry, William Harry Gokey. William Happy Gokey. So he came to him and said, your bag, sir, it's coming in tonight at 7:30. If you travel a lot, that does not happen, okay? It's coming in at 7:30, and we would like to deliver it to your hotel. Where are you staying? That's called favor. So we just praise God for that. So, Sim, so we're going to pray, join our... And actually, we're going to share in communion and then dismiss the children so the children can, if they've invited Jesus and they know Jesus and communion has been explained to them and they've gone through that, please, if they've not, this is not a game. They can wait till the right time, okay? But we're going to have communion here and then we'll dismiss the children.
Well, Father, we just bless you, Lord. And I just thank you, Father, that hallelujah, Lord, continues on, Lord, with our team in China, Father, that they would become that hallelujah that sings over China, Father. I thank you, Lord, for the anointing, Lord God, on their lives. I thank you, Father, for the favor that they have experienced to this point, Lord. And I thank you, Father, that it only increases, Lord, as they increase in every spiritual gift, Father God, as they increase, Lord, in sensitivity to your spirit, Father. I just thank you, Lord, that your presence, Lord, that your presence, Father, is their bread, Lord, is what they are feasting on, Father God, day and night, Lord God. And we just continue to declare, Father God, your word and your truth over the China team, Father, over Pastor Bill, over Lawrence, Father, over Dan, over Mike McCray, Father, over Ashley and Deanne, Lord. We just thank you, Holy One, for what you've done in their lives, Father God. And this is the season and the hour, Father God, of reaping, Lord, of reaping, Lord, of what they've been pouring out, Father. So I just thank you, Lord, that they are empty and broken vessels before you, Lord, for you to use, Father God, to transform and change, Father, the area that they are in, Lord. So we just thank you, Holy One, that your fire, Father, that the fire of your presence, Lord, continue to burn within them, Father, that spills out, Lord, into these places, into these meetings, Father. We thank you for the prophetic, for the words of knowledge that have been revealed to this point, Lord. And we just say more, Lord. We say more, Lord, Father, that there's a fine-tuning, Father God, in their spiritual ears and their spiritual eyes to see and know where you are going and what you are doing, Father. And I just thank you, Lord, that we continue to declare health and wholeness over our team, Father, that fiery wall, Lord, is around them and about them, Lord Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that they would continue to sleep and rest, Father God, at night, Lord, that you would strengthen them, Lord, for the next day, full of your work, full of your business, so God. I just thank you, Holy One, that this team is just marked by you, Lord, that they are marked by you, Lord. So we thank you, Father, that the reflection, Father God, that they are reflections of you, Lord, wherever they go, Father. So we just thank you, Holy One. And just thank you, Lord. And I thank you, Father, that you are just, you're moving around things, Father. I'm just reminded and I see a parting of the Red Sea, Lord. So whatever that means for our China team in this moment, in this hour, Father God, we just call forth, Lord, a parting of a Red Sea, Father, that your children, that a nation will be delivered, oh God, that they cannot be swallowed up by their enemy, Lord, but that they go forth, Lord, by a supernatural move of you, oh God, into safety, into deliverance, into fullness, Lord. So we just thank you for that, Holy One. I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. We bless you, Lord. We bless you and we exalt you, Lord, over China. We exalt you over China, Lord. And we just thank you, Holy One. That was what was released here this morning, Lord, is released there by your Spirit, Lord. So we thank you for that, Father. And we just excite, Lord. We rejoice. We're excited, Father God, in the testimony, Lord. In the testimony that's come forth, Father. And we say, continue to do it. Do it again and do it more, Father. In Jesus' name, by your Spirit, oh God. We just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy One. In Jesus' name, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father.
And actually, if you didn't receive, if there's anybody who still needs a letter, either a physical newsletter, you didn't receive it in the mail yesterday, or you didn't get an email about the mission updates, can you put your hand up so we could see? Dylan, are you here? Troy, can you look at the people who don't have that? Put it. So there's Troy. Okay, these two, one, two, three, four, just four? Is there anybody else? Okay. Can you make sure that before they leave today, Amy or Troy, some one of you guys, make sure you get all their information and see why. Okay, so they make sure they get it. Because there are prayer directives and suggestions in here. It's important. And we're going to just ask you to continue to lift up the team these next few weeks. And also, there's an announcement that we're also going to Ghana at the end of August. And we do have the dates. We're actually going to show a video right now of that before the kids are released so that you can see what's going on there. So we can also ask you when you're praying. So if you're new to the place, you'll have an idea of what that's all about. But Andy put this together with Mike and with Michelle, and it's really awesome. So it's just a little bit short clip here. But also based the China team will be ministering, to best of my understanding, more to the underground church and maybe in human trafficking during the week this week, and also going out into places, into establishments, coffee shops, and different places like that, meeting with whoever the Lord puts on their heart. They do have connections there, and there are covers for the Chinese. There are workers who come into various places of employment and with the idea that they will become Christians and then be lifted up as leaders. And under the guise for some places of imparting English to some, maybe a coffee shop or whatever, our teams will go into the farms and to the just different businesses to be able to be sharing Jesus with them and be speaking to some who will be on the front line and others who are just being drawn into the kingdom. So we want to keep them in prayer about that. It's explained a little bit in the newsletter as well. Okay? All right, can we show that, guys?
Frontline Ministries International is excited to share the latest news about its development project in northern Ghana, Africa, a project that is truly a miraculous kingdom venture. In 1999, Frontline began taking mission teams to Ghana, Africa, and have continued with these mission ventures nearly every year since that time. The Lord provided a divine connection with Pastors Samuel and Vera Kwakupom of Life Christian Center in Accra, Ghana. With hearts to see the gospel of the kingdom spread all over the earth, Frontline and LLC have ministered together in numerous regions of Ghana and in Togo, planting and establishing new works. In 2004, a Muslim tribal chief in Sala, northern Ghana, connected with the directors and founders of Frontline Ministries International, Bill and Mary Pat Goki, along with the mission team. As ministry to the Muslims continued, a special, God-ordained relationship developed between the chief and the Gokis. In gratitude, he presented Frontline with over 22 acres of land in his community. The Lord has given Frontline a kingdom vision for expansion in this region, and the Lord was providing the land to fulfill that vision through a Muslim chief. Several years later, the Gokis were able to lead this chief to the Lord as he renounced Islam. What a testimony of God's faithfulness. The land acquisition was the next step in continuing to see great numbers of people being brought into God's kingdom through evangelism and church planting. The vision also included a strong desire to raise up indigenous pastors and leaders in this strategic region of Africa, as it is a gateway to the rest of Africa. In 2009, before the land development began, Frontline Ministries launched the first Kingdom Bible School on the land in a temporary structure. Hundreds of local leaders have attended over the years. The fourth annual school is being offered in 2012. These local leaders are being trained and discipled to continue the expansion of the Lord's desires for salvation, healing, and worship, bringing revival and effecting transformation in this region and beyond. They are becoming forerunners who will carry the gospel of the kingdom to the nations, a new breed of missionary who will bring heaven to earth. This biblical training will continue as Frontline Kingdom Bible School is established on the grounds. Missionaries and leaders are being trained up to take God's glory to all of Ghana, its bordering countries, and beyond. FMI's vision includes building a compound on this African land, including a community development center. This place will embody a worship center and training facility, Frontline Training Center, where the Kingdom Bible School will continue, and more. The plan also includes building a school and a medical clinic within the bounds of the compound. In 2012, the first building to house foreign mission teams was completed.
Additionally, homeless children and victims of human trafficking will find a safe haven at Frontline Children's Home that will be constructed on the compound as well. Human trafficking is a major crime and issue in northern Ghana, and as well in other countries along the Ivory Coast. Slave traders kidnap and extort children from remote villages for sexual exploitation in larger cities. Frontline currently battles human trafficking in Asia as well. You can learn more about this ministry at redemptionforlife.org. Frontline Ministries International desires to equip the people of northern Ghana with the tools needed to earn a respectable living by initiating various micro-enterprise projects and by teaching them skills necessary for various trades in business and technical occupations. Considerations include sewing projects, woodworking projects, and more. Frontline also plans to develop agricultural initiatives on their property so that families can grow and market nutritious crops in an effort to wage war against the hunger and malnutrition that exists in this impoverished region. In 2010, Frontline received a grant to dig and build an ultra-deep well. This project was completed in 2011. The people of the area now have a source of fresh, clean drinking water. Also, two buildings have been constructed on the land. One is primarily for the storage and leadership housing. The other building has been just completed and will be used for worship and prayer, housing missionary teams, and leadership. Electricity has been established and hooked up as well. This is an exciting time for expansion. Frontline continues to trust God to see the balance of needed funds come in for this community development project in northern Ghana, which we will believe will touch the four corners of the earth. The Lord loves to bring transformation to entire regions and nations. He is raising up a mighty army of kingdom warriors equipped with Christ's love to seek first the kingdom of God. This Ghana North initiative will be used to change lives in this region and beyond forever. Everything Frontline stands for and moves on and moves into is based on the saving love of Jesus Christ. Just as Luke 4:18 states, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the good news. With a heart of reformation, Frontline believes that this is the time and the season for Ghana to be transformed. We desire to co-labor with the business and Christian communities through partnerships that are aimed at bringing new life to Ghana's northern region. Please prayerfully consider partnering financially with Frontline Ministries International to witness the completion of this kingdom vision. May you be blessed abundantly in all ways. Thanks for watching.
Amen. Is that awesome? All right. So cool. That's mentioned in the newsletter, which all of you, hope most of you got. So you feel free to pass that along, you know, to people that you know. So we're real excited about it. You see why the presence of God being priority in our life is so important. You see that the Lord is speaking to us and saying, this is not about your world. This is about my world. And I know that you're raising families, and I know that you're going to school, and I know that you've got jobs. I know all these things. But I'm going to take you through those things as your focus is elsewhere. First, you think, whoa, wait a minute. She's saying, don't love my children, don't love my family, don't love my work. No, I'm not saying that. I love my children, I love my family, and I love my work. But the presence of God needs to be first and foremost, and that needs to be understood. And I can't, it's a non-negotiable in a heart of a world changer. It's a non-negotiable in a person that wants to be used by the Lord to see transformation come to nations, to regions, to places. And that will stir us to push through and press through into the places that God has for us so that we are connecting with God and things do start changing. Because the Lord is not going backwards and He never stays still. There's always forward momentum. Amen? So Amy's going to lead us in communion, and then we're going to dismiss the children to Kingdom Bible School, to Kingdom Land, rather. Yes, Lord. While she's coming, I believe that many will be healed, physically healed, while we have communion today. So listen up and receive. Be in a position and posture of receiving. Late last night, I was given this email. I'm going to read it to you. It's very short. It's another miraculous healing that took place when we were in Brazil. And I felt led to have this printed off, read it. It's very short. Now contend for what you're wanting. Contend for what you want to see happen in your life, in your family's life. If you contended for something before and you saw movement, and then you went a different direction, go back and get your healing. Go back and get what you already saw God start to do from this. If there's something new in your world, in your life, step in. There's nothing too big for the Lord. Okay, it says, I have some incredible news. This is from Brazil. Remember when, this is towards to me, when you were in Brazil earlier this year and you prayed for Simone and Sergio's baby named David. He was about 14 months old, and they told you he had a heart murmur. After you prayed for his cure, you asked his parents to receive it and to keep thanking the Lord. Two important things. At the time, the doctor said that if the problem persisted, he would need surgery. Well, last week they went to the doctor and told them that Davy does not have the problem anymore. Praise the Lord. He is now 18 months old. He is lovely and healthy, and he will live up to his name. I will ask Sergio to ask the doctor to write up a document stating what he had and that he doesn't have it anymore. Amen.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Well, I had the opportunity to lead communion, me and Teresa, for Watch the Lord. And the Lord really spoke to my heart as I was preparing just what communion is. And I looked it up, and communion means fellowship. And that just really hit my heart, because then I started to read some verses in the Bible in Matthew 26. And it just was talking about the last Passover beforehand. And it says in verse 17, it says, now on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover? And he said, go into the city to a certain man and say to him, the teacher says, my time is near. I am to keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. The disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. And I know a lot of us have heard all about the Passover and the Supper. It just really hit my heart as I was reading those verses that Jesus, the time, he said, my time is near. So he knew he was about to die. He knew that he was about to suffer and die for us. But yet his focus was on fellowship. His focus was on, I want to be with my disciples. And it just hit me. He wanted to be with his disciples right up until he went and suffered and died for us. And it just hit me just how much love he has for us, that he was so focused on fellowshipping, communion with us. And then also another passage that hit me was John 17. And it's actually in verse 22. It says, the glory which you have given me, I have given to them, and they may be one just as we are one. I and them and you and me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you have loved me. Mm-hmm. It says, Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you. And these I have known that you sent me, and I have made your name known to them and will make it known, so that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. So that passage just really spoke to my heart, just the unity that Jesus was saying as he was praying and praying to the Father and saying, I want to be in them, just as we are one, that we can be in that unity and that fellowship and that heart that Jesus has for us to really know him and be really in communion with him. So, you know, that was really my heart, like just with communion, even as Pastor MP was talking about the presence, you know, that's about his presence, and it's not about us striving to get there, but it's about us realizing that Jesus desires that fellowship and communion with us so much more. That he desires us to be in his presence. He desires us to be close to him. He's desiring for that. And we have that opportunity that even as we take communion, just to really say, yes, Lord, I want everything that you have for me. You know, I want the whole loaf. I want to be healed. I want to, you know, as I already know, asked Jesus into my heart, that I want to be healed physically. I want to be healed emotionally. I want to come to know you more. I want to give up anything in my life, Lord, that's not of you, and just be filled with that purity of heart. It says to be holy as he is holy. So I just really encourage you that even as we play a song and you just feel led to come up here and take something for communion, that you really just allow your heart to really just be in that place of fellowship, that knowing that Jesus desires that fellowship with us, he desires us to be close to him, and really saying, because of that, Jesus, I want to be, it says that we can love him because he first loved us. And so really to be in that place of fellowship and communion with him, because he loves us so much that he gave his life for us, that he shed his blood, and we have the opportunity to just step into that fellowship and be in communion and receive complete healing in any area of our lives, to receive his spirit, to receive his healing. So I just encourage you for that. And
as they're playing the music, let's just offer ourselves to the Lord right now. And if there's any known area where we've gone our own way and done our own thing, okay, it's sin in our life, let's ask the Lord to expose that right now, show us, and then repent of it. So, Father, I just thank you that we desire your cleansing right now. We desire, Lord God, that as you are so gracious and you're so majestic and so loving, you're not Mr. Smack wanting to hit us over the head, but you're so kind and you so desirous to be able to have that communion with you, that Lord, if there is something that is blocking that connection with you because we were thinking differently, or we even put action to our thinking different than what you were thinking, what you would say, and what the very Spirit of God inside of us really is saying to us, Father, we just want to offer that up to you and say, Lord, forgive me. Just forgive me right now and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Lord God, that I wouldn't step back and say, I can't. But that I would say, I can. And that I can walk into who you are and believe for that complete and total release because of love. I thank you, Lord. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And with that truth, you say, offer yourself to me to be cleansed, to be delivered, to be healed. So I thank you, Lord, that today that you're exposing any area that is darkness from your perspective, not what we think, not what we feel, but what you say, and that we would take ownership of that and say, yes, Lord, it's true. And I ask for your complete cleansing and forgiveness, and that I choose right now to do an about face. This is my day. I'm doing an about face. I'm turning completely in the other direction and running into your arms of love. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord, for this sweet, sweet repentance and this sweet cleansing and this sweet restoration that takes place as your spirit moves so beautifully. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Just feel free to commune with the Lord.
I was born inside of a rainbow. I was raised on mercy and grace. And I was crowned with sweet loving kindness. I was made to see your face. So I sing hallelujah. I sing hallelujah. Just screams, I love you, and everything you are says I care. Everything you do, it just screams, I love you, and everything you are says I care. I was called from out of darkness, and I was clothed with mercy so sure, and I was given beauty for ashes, and everything else that I don't deserve, so I sing just scream.
Father, thank you for your sweet presence just increasing today. Thank you, Lord God, that you are just on the throne of our hearts. Thank you. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you for raising for us. Thank you. Thank you for shedding your blood. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can step in and forgive ourselves when we feel we've transgressed. Thank you, Lord, that you give us that desire because that pleases you. Thank you that you have forgiven us. Thank you for that sweet refreshing today. Thank you for the reestablishment, Lord, and for the great increase today as we commune with you, as we have fellowship with you. Thank you for the physical healings that are taking place in our bodies right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the emotional healings that are taking place inside of our hearts right now. Thank you for the renewing of the minds that are taking place right now. Thank you, Lord, for the transformation that's going on right now because of your presence. Thank you, Lord, that you have established us today. Thank you, Lord, that we can raise our voices and just shout hallelujah to you. And thank you, Lord God, that you are so incredibly amazing. And Lord, we just look forward to just greater revelation of what you want to impart today. Lord, that we're not segmented people, that now we do this and now we do that. But Lord, that we're learning how to flow in your presence. And that, Lord, what you want to do and say, what you're up to is how we want to go. We want to lean into everything that you are. We want to lean into what you want to establish in greater measure today for heaven to come to earth. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the changes. Thank you for the closeness increasing right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are sustaining us. You're increasing us. And you are meeting us where we are, but you love us so much, you won't let us stay where we've been. Thank you, Lord, drawing us into that new place, that new realm of the glorious place that you have for us. Thank you, Lord, for the greater understanding of your kingdom ways. Thank you, Lord, for revelation from heaven coming right into us, Lord God, that we could see why we were born and why we're here. And Lord, with the establishment of that, the details that surround that for us that you're revealing right now, that would drive us into greater passion for you. Drive us into a place of glory because we go from glory to glory to glory. That's how you've designed us. That's what we say yes to. And Lord, thank you that we're not going any other direction other than glory to glory to glory. In Jesus' name, we declare this over ourselves individually, over this body, over our families, over all who are associated with us, Lord, in China, in other places than here right now. We thank you for that. We thank you for that expression of your power inside of the people that you know are tethered together under your banner. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we declare these things, and we all said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. My daughter, Christy, is just about to head to the hospital to have a baby. So, Lord, we just thank you for that sweet ride to the hospital. Thank you, Lord God, for that sweet birth of Josiah. And thank you, Lord God, for the supernatural birth that you have said yes to when they have asked you for that, whatever that's to look like. We say yes to you. We thank you for the peace that passes all understanding that guards Christy and Josh's hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that even in the midst of what goes on in childbirth, they're able to rejoice. Again, I say rejoice and let their prayer and supplication be presented to you with thanksgiving in their heart. And that peace that passes all understanding, the Lord says, is guarding their hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So we thank you for that. And that means a safe and wonderful delivery. Welcome, Josiah, in Jesus' name. Happy birthday to you. Amen. Oh, it's my joy. Okay, children, I'm sure you want to go somewhere, so ciao. But go to the right place. Amen. Open your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Corinthians. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, you children are amazing. We have amazing world changers in this place. All right, these children are going to be,
They've watched this video for Ghana. They've been listening to all these things. They may have very little understanding of it, but I'm telling you what, watch them grow and watch them kick it up in these nations and here as well. Revival is here and it's increasing around this region. Amen. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And you all have an important part to play in that. This is a very generational church. It's from the wee little ones to the wee big ones and older ones. The Lord says, step into what you were created and designed to do, because I have an important place for you. And watch how I will take you to that place if your heart is hungry. Thank you, Lord. That's really good. That's a good word. Amen. Okay. All right. 2 Corinthians, there's a couple of verses I want to go through just briefly. And we're going to look at chapter 1. The first one, 2 Corinthians 1 will be a good one. Say yes and amen. We talked about this a couple Tuesdays ago. And we were going to put up a picture of Michelle Perry. We didn't get to that. So we'll do that at the very end of this so the parents will come back and see that again. She's coming in on Tuesday. Monday, which is tomorrow, anyone who has had any kind of training with us, which is everybody in here, I believe, please come. She is going to impart to our schools, to our classes, to any place where you have received any impartation. If you've not and you want to come see me. Okay? It's very important. And then Tuesday, come for Fire and Wind as well. She'll be here. So there's an amazing upgrade for Michelle, and she has a lot to share. And she loves the presence of God. So take your schedules and change them and come. Amen. Okay, 2 Corinthians 1. These are really great verses you want to increase and improve and continue to go forward in Jesus' name. Write these down and let's dissect them. Let's unpack them together. See what God wants to do today. The Lord says, I really want you to understand that the significance of my word is bigger than you think. How many of us want to know that? What does it mean to know his word and know that there's more significance than what we even understand? Lord says, this is the time, this is the season for that. Sometimes we neglect his word. We put on a worship song and we're worshiping, we're in the presence, we're encountering the Lord, which is way cool and I love it. But then we're neglecting reading the word. The Lord says, that's a mistake. So I'm going to echo his heart. The Lord wants us to be in his word every day. Every day. So if we are not soaring in the heavenlies, we need to be in his word every day. If we are soaring in the heavenlies, we need to be in his word every day. So please take that as a word from the Lord through me to each one of us. So let's increase that right now, okay? For just if you want to say yes to the Lord, own it, because the enemy will do anything to keep you because there's so much power in that. So we're very word-oriented in this house, very presence-oriented in this house, very supernatural-oriented in this house, okay? And the enemy wants to divide that up so it looks different. You can't really be supernaturally oriented without being word-oriented, as well as his encountering his spirit, his presence through worship and soaking and things like that. Okay? Everything is based in the word, everything. So make no mistake about that. So make sure that you encourage yourself. But as God is faithful, our word to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Christ Jesus, who was preached among you by me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no, but yes is in him. Okay, the Lord wants us to, could you put verse 20 up there with it? That would be good. The Lord wants us to know that he is the divine yes. He is the divine yes. It was his yes that shot Jesus into this world. His yes. He said, I'm going to take care of my kids. I started out with them in the Garden of Eden. Things headed south, and I'm going to send my son because he's a divine yes to change everything. So I'm going to bring everything back to its original state. That's the message. Hello, the message of love. The Lord said, I'm showing up, and my son is my divine yes, and I am revealing me. Ta-da! Father is being revealed. Okay, Father is being revealed from heaven to earth through Jesus Christ, the exact representation of Jesus, the exact picture of Father, rather, the exact copy of Father. You read Colossians chapters 1, 2, and 3. You want to meditate on some good stuff this week and read about the nature of Jesus Christ. Look at Revelation 1. Mark these things down. You may think, well, I can't do it now. You're right. But you can this week. Revelation chapter 1. His eyes are burning. His hair is white. The risen, resurrected, and glorified. Okay, let me say that with me. The risen, resurrected, and glorified Jesus is described in Revelation chapter 1. Spend some good time there. And stay there until you encounter him. Well, that's really nice. It's good stuff. But, you know, I don't really understand. Hey, go sit under a tree. It's nice weather. Okay? Get your iPod or whatever. Start focusing on the risen, the death, burial, and resurrection, and the glorified Jesus Christ. He's described right there. Simple. Do it. It'll help. Okay? So the Lord tells us here that he is our yes. Jesus is the yes, and the yes of heaven came down to earth so that God positioned us, our Father positioned us, to receive everything about him, everything about Jesus Christ. Everything in our world is to be framed around Jesus. It doesn't matter. Everything else is secondary. Every bit of our quote-unquote destiny, what we're going to do, what job we're going to have, all the things that we do for God, do for the family, and do for each other, none of that means squat if Jesus is not first and foremost and central. It's really true. And he says, for you to see me in the light that I am, resurrected, ascended, and glorified. I forgot the ascended. Ascended and glorified. He wasn't glorified until he ascended. It's important. Important fact. Let's back it up. Resurrected, ascended, glorified. So the Lord wants us to know that he is ascended, and he has ascended, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And he says, and if you know who you are, you really know who you are, you will know that you're seated in heavenly places too, right now. So if our head is down, if we're downcast, or we're coming up with our own agenda, our own way to encounter God, we're introspective, we're sitting on, you know, under a tree, and we're thinking about me and my world and my life and me, that's probably a big mistake, okay? Because that's not going to get us anywhere. It's going to get us into a kind of a tunnel vision place. And the Lord says, put your eyes on me. Set your mind on me. Okay, I was talking to my daughter when she's experiencing some of this stuff that goes along with delivery. Okay, and I said, set your eyes on him. Not Josiah. Him. Oh, what, even in the midst of labor and delivery. Yes, I've been there, done that. I got something to say about it. But more than that, it's in the Word. God says, keep your mind on him, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You get up in the morning, Jesus, 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 Jesus. You are the divine yes. And when that divine yes on the inside grabs us, we will step out and do the things that we don't want to do, the things that our logical minds will say it probably won't work. Whenever we hear it probably won't work, it probably won't. Because we're not going and saying, well, how can I partner with you to see it come to pass? That's the difference. The Lord is so about giving us opportunities to rely on his yes. His yes is Jesus. And he says, I have positioned you to understand what it means to be seated in heavenly places right now. Right now. Right now. Not later. Turning your Bibles to 1 John 4:19. I don't have this up here, but this is on my heart. 1 John 4:19. Thank you, Lord. This is so good. Oh, we want more of you. I have to get my Bible rebound. This is just not working for me. I love my Bible. Ooh, I just don't want to get another one right now. I love my Bible. 1 John 4:19 reads, 17. We'll do 18, 19. Okay, 17. For by this, love is perfected. This is because of Jesus. By this, okay. Love is perfected with us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. Now we're going to look at it again. And this is a big deal, okay? For by this, love is perfected. This means that the love of God inside of us is maturing. Perfection means that it's maturing. Okay? We're in 1 John 4:17 first. It's maturing. It says, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, meaning the day when we're going to stand before Jesus, the bema seat of Christ, and he's going to take a look at our works, and you know, anything that is centered around him will remain. Anything that's not will not. If he gives us opportunities to demonstrate him, to bring heaven to earth, and we don't take them, what we did in its place burns up. And we think it's so valuable? When God gives us these opportunities, we really need to listen to what he's saying. We need to listen to what the Spirit of God is saying. We are so good at rationalizing what I'm going to do and how I'm going to do it. Because I co-labor and I co-partner and co-create with God. True, true, true. But when the Spirit of God really is leading and he's saying, I'm all about others. Hello. And so my love inside of you is being perfected so that that drives you, that propels you, that matures you, that love. You can't help but say yes. It's like, okay, well, sure, yeah, what can I do? We can change things. We can move things. It'll look different. I don't know how it'll happen, but I'm going to take steps, and I'm going to cooperate with God, and I'm going to do it. Ha! And it's going to be there's going to be a cost. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be hard. It's going to be a stretch. But wow, I get to become more like Jesus because his love is maturing in me. His love is increasing in me. All right, now this is the, oh, I just love this. So his love is increasing in him. It says, because as he is, look at your version here. As he is. What does that mean? As he is. What is he is? He is what? He has died. He has resurrected. He has ascended. He has been glorified as he is. Not as he was 2,000 years ago, as he is. Think about those words. They're kind of scary words. Good scary. Like, woo-hoo. As he is, so also are we in this world. I'm like him. That's a little bit heavy here. Wait a minute. I said something recently to a family member of how we're being changed at the image of Christ. It was like, what? I don't like Jesus. What's wrong with you? That's heresy. Oh, okay. It wasn't quite that bad. But, you know, there was some little tension. I just smiled and said, yeah, we are. We're changing into the image of Christ because his Spirit lives inside of us. So Christ in me, the hope of glory. Oh, that means that the resurrected Jesus, you mean the Spirit of God? Spirit of God is the same, right, as Father and Jesus who has already died, ascended and glorified, right? Aren't they the same? So as Jesus is, so are we in this world. Well, that should change your parenting ideas. That will change your ideas for grandparenting or whatever you're doing. Think of your own world. Think of whatever you're doing. It'll change things. Think about what that means. Let it sink in. Okay, let's look at it one more time. Just look at it one more time. It's just so heavy here. Whew. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. Alrighty then, so I'm on a journey. What's this journey all about? The journey is maturing love. I want that love of him inside of me to mature. Which brings also transformation. Which will take a video of Ghana. It looks like we have about 10,000 people in our church, doesn't it? And say, yeah, we can do that. Uh-huh. We've already done it. What you saw is what's already happened with not exactly tons and tons of people. But the Lord said, hey, it's my idea. It's spiritual. Step into it. But if we don't really watch how the enemy wants to make us more normal in our Western thinking than ever before in our life, this won't be a big deal. It'll be like, yeah, it's really nice. Somebody else will do it. Maybe someday, maybe in a couple years. I'm just not there. It's time to bite those lies. Chew them up and spit them out. It really is. It's time to just say, I'm done with those lies. Those lies are just dumb. And I don't like dumb things in me. So I'm going to get rid of those lies. You know, God is saying, this is who you are. This is who you are in the world. Who you are in the world is who he is right now. That's kind of unnerving. If you really get a handle on that, if you really start going, well, can I meditate on that for a while? And watch the enemy try to explain it away. Like, well, what that really means is, you know, I know it's really hard to be a Christian and you're doing your very best. And the Lord is saying, no, I want you to see that my identity I have given to you. And the divine fabric on the inside of you carries me because I have made you in my image. That's who you are. And the minute we start getting puffed up, like, okay, well, then I'm pretty cool, then, you know, then we have remembrance of the cross and go, well, maybe not. But on the other hand, there's this false humility thing where it's like, you know, I'm just really trying. And we can be really nice about it, but we try to do our own thing. We try to do what we think will work. And we can be pleasant and kind about it and sound like, yeah, I'm just, you know, I'm a nice person and I'm just trying. I'm so sweet in my sounding, but we're still believing tons of lies. And then we take our own sweet time and we think, well, it doesn't hurt anybody else. Yeah, it really does. It really does. You know, there are lives waiting for this body to be completely lit on fire. There are lives waiting. I can't light anybody on fire. I'm only responsible for me, ultimately. But he does. And he's saying, if you see yourself the way I'm telling you you are, you will change because you will have to get to know me. You'll want to get to know me. Nothing else will do. It's just like, I'm sorry. I'm going to make some changes myself. I'm going to start looking at myself differently. So I just think that's a really cool verse. Okay, by this love is perfected with us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also we are in this world. Thank you. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. The second to last line, all of it is amazing. But the second to last line, the one who fears is not perfected in love. Any part of us that has any fear, from God's perspective, he knows what it is. We don't have to tell him. He wants us to know what it is. He wants us to recognize what fear really looks like from his perspective. I mean, we can go scale the wall and we can run a marathon and we can do all these kinds of things for the Lord and we can be inside. We can have fears. Those fears are areas that have not been perfected in the love of God, from what the verse is saying here. It's not just, that's a hindrance. I need to get it out of my way so that I can do great things for God. Yeah, that's true. But that's not the message here. The message is that his love inside of us is wanting to mature and perfect, which will involve a change of our thinking. The Lord says, this has to change. This is the only thing that the enemy really loves to mess with where we don't see it. I mean, we get a sickness or something. It's like, I'm rebuking that in Jesus' name. That's easy. But it's not so easy with the mind. It's like, oh, well, I'm always like this. I'm really strong. I have strong will, or I have this, or I have that. I was like, God says, I want that to change. I want your strength to be my strength so that you can prove my will. You can prove my will. You are going to examine what my word says, and you're going to say, yep, that's true. Yep, that's true. So if somebody comes to me and says, well, what about this? And it sounds kind of smoky. It's like, no, it's not God. And you're going to know it. It's not just a mental knowing. It's not just a mental understanding of saying, I know the word. Here's what the word says. Now, here's the difference. It's going to be an actual sense of, ah, on the inside. No, your word says rejoice. So I am going to rejoice because I know who you are. And what that means is I get closer to you. And what that means is I'm going to be able to connect with you and have an encounter to you. That's how you become part of the verse. It's not just rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. That's a beginning. That's for little babies. And we start there. But the Lord is saying, I want to perfect that. I want to perfect that truth. I want to perfect the love that's behind every word in the Bible. I want to perfect that inside of you. It's not just, okay, I know I have fears and I know I have issues and I'll get it right someday. When the Lord says, you are, we are as he is. In this world, that's who we are. It's like, whoa. He's saying, kids, I want you to see who I am and realize what I've done for you. If you do not, and contend more and more for that, you will not go from glory to glory to glory, because we were created to go from glory to glory to glory. Now, here's the deal. When Jesus died on the cross, all of us shared in that death. I think we know that. Okay? That's basics. We shared in the death, we shared in his burial, and we shared in his resurrection. So now he says, live a resurrection life. But also, we are seated in heavenly places, and we are going from glory to glory to glory. So he wants something to look, he wants our maturing love to look like something. All right, let's, thank you for putting that up. Let's go back to the Corinthians, the next verse up there. I'm going to show you a little fun clip in just a minute. Oh, this is good stuff today. Do you have it, Corinthians? Okay, 2 Corinthians 1, 18 through 20. We already talked about him being the yes, and we are the amen through the glory of God. Okay? Yes is in him. Yes is him. Jesus is the yes, and he has made us the yes as well to be able to respond in an amen. So it's kind of like the 4th of July is coming, and we're going to see a lot of fireworks, okay, in the sky. And so when you look up and you see this great display, I mean, think about this now. We'll kind of set the stage for that. But think about this now. I suggest one thing that we could do is look up and say, yes, 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 to the splendor, the majesty, and the glory of the Lord, not just the brilliance in the sky, but then say, Lord, will you show me what that looks like in my individual life? That the same enthusiasm, awe, and excitement, when I look up at that display in the darkness, that I would see that you are punctuating my life, boom, with a boom of who Jesus really is, and it's got to grow. It's not enough to write a new song. It's not enough to create a beautiful picture. It's not enough to do something fun to get kids ready for Kingdom Kids. That's not enough in and of itself. If we're looking at just those things, those can be works that we do without our fire behind it. God is saying, knowing him this way and moving into that desire to know him is what is going to take us into a new place. That's how many of you want to go to a new place? Isn't that going from glory to glory to glory? New. Glory means, oh my gosh, the glory of God. The Lord is glorified, and he's allowing me to carry his glory. And there's more, and there's more, and there's more. And that more, desire for more, drives us to the cross. A lifestyle of the cross. A lifestyle of the cross. A lifestyle of the cross. One without the other is really bad. I've been in churches where it's lifestyle of the cross and you just want to vomit. Oh, this is like, there's like nobody even smiling here. Maybe with coffee and donuts, but oh, you know, the lifestyle of the cross is one of incredible joy, incredible peace. That's the lifestyle of the cross. Jesus had joy and peace. But he released himself fully because his love was mature. And the Lord says, I want to mature you, mature your love. Okay, the next is Corinthians verse, please. 2 Corinthians 3. Oh, back on for now. Do you have all the verses up there? Go, keep going. Well, let's go ahead. You know, you have a lot of them. Let me just, we're just going to speak a little bit about this. I carved this up a little bit a couple Tuesdays ago, but we're just going to touch on it here. This in verse 3 is talking about our covenant. The letter of the law of Christ was written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of the heart. Okay, verse 4. Now we have confidence through Christ toward God, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, the Spirit gives life. Okay, we can hear all that and go, okay, I'm under a new and better covenant. Woohoo, that's really true. Okay, let's see what it means for me now. Let's look at verse 5. Do we have any more? It's the whole, it's 2 Corinthians 3 is... No. 5, 6, the whole chapter 3. Chapter 3. 2 Corinthians 3. Okay, I'll read it. No, she's not reading all of it. That's okay. Oh, we got it now? Thank you. That's what we're looking for. Okay, that's a whole lot of words. Oh, my goodness. This is all about Moses and contending for the glory on his face. Take a look at it in verse 7. It says that when Moses went up in the mountain, the glory, when he was in the presence of God, the glory was so bright. He had this shining face. He looked like a light bulb. And so, you know, he came down from the mountain, and he covered his face because he was so bright. But the glory was fading. That's what you want to see in verse 7 here. The glory was fading because it's under the old covenant. Now we live under a new covenant, and the Lord says, you contain my glory on the inside. You contain the Holy Spirit. Therefore, the glory won't fade. It'll just get brighter. It'll just increase. It will also take us from one place of glory to another. There's always an increase. This is a very big deal. Okay, Verse 11, for if that which fades away was with glory, much more that which remains is in glory. Therefore, having such hope, we use great boldness in our speech and are not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face so that the sons of Israel would not look intently at the end of what was fading away. But their minds were hardened, for until this day at the reading of the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted because it's removed in Christ. But to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Important verse there. Whenever a person turns. Now watch this. Watch this. Okay, I'm coming towards the Lord, and I'm turning because my heart's being gripped. Okay, watch this. I am turning towards the Lord in worship. I'm turning towards the Lord. I'm responding to the Lord. When I choose to respond, then he takes the veil off. Notice the progression. Okay? He doesn't take the veil off. Whoa, now I can see. Okay, now I'll respond. It's the other way around. There are things that we can grab in our heart that we won't fully grab up here yet. We can begin there. The Lord says that this, it's in your heart, but don't stop. You can turn towards the Lord and say, oh, I really love you, Jesus. Then tomorrow, I don't know, I still feel the same way. Well, that's because when the veil was starting to be lifted, we didn't lean into that. We need to do something. We need to respond. Very important verse. That's why so many of us at times are like yo-yos. Beep, 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 up and down. Feel good at church, don't feel good at home. Feel good at church, don't feel good at home. La, 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 la. I'm taking a long time. It's going to take me a long time. You know how it is. No. The Lord says this is acceleration time. Listen to the word of God. Let it work for you. Put it into practice. And God will bring the results. Okay? Now, wherever the Lord is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with unveiled face, there is no veil on our glorious face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. So we're beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. In other words, the example that God gave us is a picture of a mirror, so we're looking at this and we're beholding him. Even though we'll see ourselves, he gives us a picture of that. He says, who you behold is who you become. So if you're looking at this, you're looking at the Lord, your eyes are set on him, and you're looking at who he is, no matter what is screaming, and whether your flesh is screaming or anybody else is screaming, anything else, as we behold him, we start to become him. We become who we behold. Isn't that amazing? And so the glory increases around us, in us, matures, and then we're different. So the person that we were two Sundays ago is different today. The person that we will be on Tuesday is different than the person that we are now because we're gazing into his eyes. We're telling ourselves we are gazing, we are moving, we are going for him. Nothing else matters. We get to a place that takes us above a line of constant hassle, constant battling. There are certain things that he transforms in us that become the non-negotiables in our life. It's like, you know, there are things I used to do and think and feel that I don't do and think and feel anymore because I don't care. I don't want to. It's just not even interested. It's not even there. It's not a struggle. It's not a problem. Why? Because of the beholding and the transforming that comes with through the beholding. So what does the enemy want us to do? Keep us from beholding. Keep us out of the word. Keep us away from the presence. Not do anything to convince us that something else is more important. Even our children, even our jobs, even our families, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, what's the balance? He always provides that balance, always. There is a balance. A balance means behold. So if we behold, okay, again, who you behold, you become. You behold, all right? And then you step in. And as you step into who you're beholding, then the veil starts to come off. Then you respond to that and say, Lord, I want more. The encounter will increase. I'm going to have more connection with you. This is amazing. You're amazing. If we have an amazing time with the Lord and it's for real, it will propel us to do something amazing. As we are becoming more amazing, then we will do amazing. We become and we do. We become and we do. There's a flow of the Spirit and it becomes something that we do. If we usually go like this, let me think on this. Probably not. Well, maybe. You know, the Lord says, I think you're beholding your own hand instead of beholding me. Behold me. When you behold me, you become me. That's looking in the mirror and seeing me. Can you see that? And that's taking us then from glory to glory to glory. We're already seated at the up in heavenly places. It's like, what the heck is that? I live in heaven and I hang out in earth here. Why? How? I need to understand that. I need to flow with that. I need to say, God, I'm learning about how to, an invitation from you for the supernatural. It's like, what? Hey, you made me supernatural. I'm inviting you to be number one in every area, aka I'm going to become presence-oriented. Your presence, when you're close, when I feel, when I know, when I sense, when I taste, when I know that, whoa, you're just, oh God, you're just grabbing. I just can't stop thinking about you, talking about you. His presence is increasing. And when we respond to his presence, the manifestation of him increases. He loves it. He's drawn. The angels are drawn. It's like, yeah, that's what you were created for. Now you're getting it. Yeah, put your projects over here and spend time on your face with me. That'd be really good. I think we all need a word for that in the summer, don't we? We all want to, I mean, you know, it's not that projects aren't fun and good. I'm just saying. It's important to think about. Okay. There's a couple more verses and then we're going to wrap this up. There's probably more here, but I know there's more, but that's good for right now. I want to show something. Two more verses, and then I'm going to show a short clip. And you'll see my point. I believe it's going to be kind of like, that's going to be the punctuation here for some of us. All right, God is saying, I'm just trying to dig right in there because I think some of us are being fooled. That's all. God is not mad at us. He's proud of us. But he says, I think sometimes we think that this thinker up here is really being renewed in some areas that it might not be. So his job, the Spirit of God's job, is to stir that up because we've got great brains and great minds. But he wants to bring it in for a purpose. So let's put the last two scriptures up there, please. The Isaiah and the other one. Okay, do you have put the other one up first, can you? Jeremiah? Is it up there? Okay. Thank you. Jeremiah 17, 5 through 8. Now, this is really cool because it's very extreme. How many of us like extreme? Jesus is extreme, okay? This is loaded. This is so packed. It really is. But let's take a look at the extreme and just see what the Lord might be trying to help us see. Cursed, ooh, love that word, is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. Well, first of all, we were freed from the curse, all right? When we became born again, the Lord says, I have taken all power and killed it that has come against you to bring you down. All power. How about that? Yeah, but I know I got all these curses in my family. I mean, there's just probably 5,000 of them. And, you know, they're really going to get me if I don't really stay the course. It's like, well, where theology is that coming from? That's not Jesus theology. Well, that's what I was told. Probably so, but not here, hopefully. At least not for me. The Lord says that you may have some baggage, okay, that wanted to sneak along once you became born again and you got on that train and it said, hey, I think I'll just kind of sneak along with that new creature in Christ and they won't even know that I'm there. All right, when you become educated as to who you really are, then you send that thing packing. But it doesn't hold you. The power to hold you, to keep you, is not there. But if you think it is, either you've been taught wrong or you've been thinking wrong, hello, it's time to change that. Because you won't really see yourself as Jesus says you are. We just read, we are in this world as he is. Come on, you think he's cursed? Think about that. Think about that. Selah. Pause and think what I'm saying. Well, you talk about curses. Yes, I do. You pray against generational things. You betcha. But I know who I am. Do you? God is saying, really examine the authenticity of who I am and who and how I see you. Because you may have the last 30 years, 50 years, whatever it is, 10 years, you may have been thinking something that was just a little bit left to center. And it was enough to keep you down. Oh, it's time for discovery. Discovery zone. It's the glory zone, okay? That's what we're going to do. We're going to discover more of who we are and who he really is and how they meet. And then love is able to freely flow. So we're not just fighting against, you know, the bad things that are happening to me. The Lord says, if you know who you are and you understand what I've done, for example, let me give you a quickie, okay? Here's an example, Malachi. In Malachi chapter 3, 8 through 11, really good verses, you ought to read them. There are some in here that probably are not tithing. If you're not tithing, you're making a big mistake. What you do is you walk right into a curse. You fall in first category. Do you realize that? Well, wait a minute, the power has been broken. Hey, if you don't realize that and you're not tithing, the scriptures in Malachi, now this is my point, they specifically say that the Lord rebukes the devourer. And maybe things are happening in your life that aren't so fun. It could actually be because you don't understand what God is saying. There are things that we must do because he makes it clear. He knows exactly what will make us tick and makes us work. And he says, it work well. You know, if you really want to commune with me and understand my heart, I own everything. But I specifically am saying, I'm not looking at what you have and don't have right now. That has nothing to do with it. The issue is, I'm telling you, this is what you need to do. If you choose to not, you're choosing to go your own way, do your own thing. And that's a spiritual law. If we violate any spiritual law because I don't have enough, if you say you don't have enough, it's because you've given the enemy a right to hit you in that area by not tithing. Because this, if not, the scripture isn't true, but it is. Because if we have our own thinking on any front, then, you know, we kind of go like this. The Lord says, if that's what you want, no, I don't want. I want to be blessed. If that's what you want. The Lord says we must know what he says, what he thinks, and who we are. And if we violate that, then we risk the enemy coming in and eating our lunch. Why wouldn't he? That's his job. So it's really important. So if you're not tithing, you need to start. If you don't understand it, you need to listen and study, okay? And start thinking about that and take some classes and talk to me or talk to someone and then step. And that's just the beginning. He says, if you don't do this, how can you then offer yourself beyond that? Because this is the basics. Yeah, but I don't have this and I don't have that. Not the issue. You can't afford not to. Because of the promises in the scripture. Not because I want your money. I mean, the things that we have done all over the world, I still am completely, you talk about being amazed constantly. It's like, where did this, how did this happen? I mean, hello, look who we are. Well, what? All over the world. But the Lord is saying, well, yes, I want a cheerful giver. But when we're cheering because of who he is, that's a non-negotiable to begin with. If we step into the law, then we might have a veiled face. But we with unveiled faces, beholding him as in a mirror, we are going from glory to glory. And that becomes a joy. And then we step into the next realm, which is offering, and the next realm, which is sowing seed. And if we don't understand it or we've been taught wrong, we can actually bring a curse on us. For real. Anyway, that was just a little side thing. But very important. Very important. Switch gears if you haven't been doing that. Okay. Cursed is the man who trusts in mankind. That means your own thinking. Makes his flesh his strength and whose heart turns away from the Lord, for he will be like a bush in the desert. Blah. He will not see, spiritually see, no revelation when prosperity really comes. Will live in stony wastes in the wilderness and a land of salt without inhabitant. How fun is this? But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. This is really important. All of it is. When I say that, it doesn't mean the rest isn't. Verse 7. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. We'll look at the Amplified in just a minute. He trusts in and trusts, his trust is the Lord. Anytime we say, I don't know if I can trust God for this, huge mistake. We absolutely, because of fear, bring this on us, a curse on us. We hinder blessing. I don't trust God for this. I don't know. I just have it. I mean, it's just really hard for me. I'm doing the best I can. That's fine, but it's not, because it will release things to happen in our life because God set it up that way with the principles. So, you know, we really don't have a lot of choices if we want to live in the abundant world. We have choices to be able to cooperate with what his word is saying. So blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord, for he will be like a tree planted by the water. And I want you to picture this, all right? Think of a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream. It's planted by the water, the presence of God. This is all about the presence, by the way. This is all about the presence. Okay, verses 1 through 7, not connecting in the presence, maybe dabbling in it. Verse 8 through the rest, presence. For he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream, and will not fear when the heat comes. Now here's the opposite of faith. Faith is presence oriented. True faith. God's going to give us more understanding of what faith looks like as the years go by here, as the short seasons go by. But he's saying as the heat comes, it gives you the picture of a tree where the heat comes, you know, and the leaves would fall off. Oh my gosh. And you know, the fruit's going to dry up. And you know, this tree that's planted by the water is going to be nurtured and it's going to be absolutely vibrant and luscious. Its leaves will be green. They won't fall off. They will not fear. And it will not be anxious in a year of drought. So if things seem to be happening that are a little bit different than what you're used to, there will still be no anxiety and no fear. If you have anxiety or fear, you're walking with curses around you. How about that? Oh, blah. You mean I'm cursed? No. A curse is a stopping of a blessing. And it also gives the enemy legal right to kick and punch. So the Lord's trying to release us from that, because he already did at the cross. And it will not cease to yield fruit. So let's look at it one more time. He will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. Powerful. Here's the last verse, and I'm going to got this video clip to show you that's 2 minutes, 3 minutes long. Here's the last verse. Now think of the tree, okay? All about blessing. We all want to hear about the blessing. The last verse. Heaven is God's throne, Isaiah 66, 1 and 2. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where then is a house you could build for me? Okay, this is talking about tabernacling with the Lord. The Lord is saying, I'm looking for a holy habitation. I live in you, But I'm looking for that holy house of prayer on the inside, that holy habitation on the inside. That's what I'm looking for. That's what you want to see in your kids and grandkids. That's what you want to see in every part of your life, right? He says, that's what I'm looking for because heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. And he says, where is a place that I may rest? Where is that place? Talking about the tent of meeting inside, the tabernacle inside. And here's the deal. Sometimes we try to put our tent up and we're so nice and we're so kind trying to put it up and we try to do it ourselves. And maybe we'll get somebody to help, but it's still in our own strength to try to make it happen. I've got to make this happen instead of completely surrendering in the presence of God in the ways that we've talked about. This is what God's strategy looks like as opposed to man's strategy. And if you know, for every individual life, you have to take it and say, what are you saying to me? Think about what you're doing right now, what's most important. Think of the three, maybe the five most important things in your life right now. Okay? I don't know what they are, but label them yourself. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Start with three and then add two more if you can. If you can write it down, that's great. What's important to you right now? If you work, you like your job, that's important. If you like coming to church and hanging out, that's important, okay? Reading your Bible, worshiping the Lord, taking care of your family, studying for tests, preparing for outreaches, you know. Five top things that are really important to you right now. I'm not talking about the most important people, okay? Family, you can put them all together as one. That's what I'm saying. Let's think of the five. What is really, really important, all right? Now, as you're thinking about that, the Lord says, in the midst of that, where is a place that I may rest? In the midst of those places, where then is a house you could build for me? In other words, we're building. We are builders. We are builders. I told someone yesterday that I am a visionary, but I'm also a builder. Because if I spend my time visioning, and I stay in the clouds in vision because I am a visionary and I love it. But if I don't have or utilize the builder anointing that's in me to bring heaven to earth, I'm short-sighted. Okay? So I want to be part of that building. That's the co-laboring. That's the co-partnering with the Lord. But he's saying, look what's important to him. What's the most important to the Lord? He says, where is a place that I may rest? For my hands made all these things. Thus, all these things came into being, declares the Lord. Now grab this one, guys. Memorize it. But to this one I will look. To him who is humble, contrite of spirit, and who trembles at my word. Those three things right there. Okay? Will enable the proper tent in the way that it should be fashioned to be built for a resting place for the Lord. The Lord says, I'm looking for those who are humble, who want humility above all else. I'm looking for a contrite heart, one that will be completely, absolutely realizing dependence on Lord in all areas and willing to repent quickly, easily, daily if needed. And trembles at my word. So if my word says tithe, I tremble at the privilege of being able to step in to see what you will do. You're not trying to take my money, you're trying to bless me. You see, it's a way of thinking, it's a change of thinking. Let's show the clip. And you think, with all this in mind, it's only a 2-minute clip. Make sure that it sounds loud enough, okay? The sound up.
See that? Looks a little like a teepee, doesn't it? Of course, a teepee is a real home for some people. Yeah. see how this works. Oh, I don't think this one's pulling out right. There it is. Helps to have two people to put these up. There it comes. See, there's somebody in there. Frighteningly. Let me try it once more. Let me try it once more. Do you have any idea what this might be?
I love Mr. Rogers. I really do. My kids grew up on him, watching Mr. Rogers. So, you know, when I saw this, I felt I was supposed to play it, and I couldn't figure out why. I really didn't understand. And then the Lord, I said, would you please give me revelation and show me? And then he spoke, and he said, it's related to these verses. Like, oh, yeah, I can see it. Can you see if you try to do something in your own strength, trying to make a habitation for God, what it really can look like? It's kind of messy, you know. And there's a good message about unity. Maybe we can get somebody to help put it up. But that's still not going to work, because it really has to be the Lord generating all of this on the inside. And ultimately, the Lord is saying, this is a day, this is a new day, things will change. If we go through our checklist in our minds of what is valuable to us, and we have heard the convicting love of the Lord on the inside, things will change today, and we will continue to go from glory to glory. I invite you to feast on these words. I'm just going to ask Jamie to go up to the keyboard. And just listen. Just listen. Jamie, if you can just sing out "Ascribe unto the Lord," just that chorus, whatever, the glory due his name, and then allow him to establish his tent on the inside in a way that he's really looking to do. It will change things for you today. It will biggie size who he is with everything that you've heard today as we ascribe unto the Lord the glory due his name. That's how much he loves us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just touch us right now, Lord. You've got messages for us today, Lord. They're very specific. Messages of love, how to encounter you, what it means to lay down and be quiet, what it means to spend time with you, what it means to see what's mattering to you, what it means to actually say, I want more. I want to be lit on fire by you. Lord, let the fire of your love right now just invade the hearts here and clear out any place that was that you have brought to light right now that will help us just go further, Lord, that we don't have to do it ourselves. When you are established on the inside as our temple, as our tent of meeting, and as you are established as our presence director and the one who is absolutely in control of everything, the one who so desires to bring us into a place where our minds are changed about things that we see and the decisions that we make, that we actually, Lord, would say,
That was fear speaking through me. I said no to this because it was fear. I said yes to this because it was fear. Lord, and I want to be that tree that's planted by streams of water with roots going really deep. Lord, that will be so safe in the times of potential pestilence or drought or difficult times. I so give myself over to you because I want to ascribe to you the glory due your name, because I so want to be taken from glory to glory, to see myself as you see me, to accept myself as you accept me, and to be able to wield the authority that you've given me from being a child of the King at the cross, who's also been raised and is going from glory to glory, who also has ascended and sits in heavenly places, who has the privilege of ascending. And I thank you, Lord, that I no longer will sit by and be content with just having a little fine quiet time with you. But Lord, that I'm going to step into the place that you've designed for me, that you've said, I'm stirring you today, my darling. I'm stirring your heart. I'm stirring your mind. I'm stirring you, my son, my daughter, that I'm absolutely capturing your heart in the deepest places, that it's going to show, it's going to look like something, that there's going to be a maturing of my love on the inside of you as a result, that you won't think of things the way you thought things before, that anything that was stagnating in you is now being removed, that is causing you to think differently now. Oh, thank you, Lord. And Father, I thank you that the areas, the top five priorities, Lord God, are now going to experience an invasion of your power and your presence and your authority in ways that I really didn't understand till today, that I really didn't see till today. That today is a new day for me. Today is a new sound for me. So today is my day to come into a place of heavenly glory and dimension of loving your presence, and a dimension of maintaining your presence, a dimension of staying in your presence, of increasing in your presence, of bringing your presence from heaven to earth, of manifesting your presence, of proving that good and acceptable word of God, and proving meaning establishing what your word and your will says and what you mean by it every place I go, to every person, and that my willingness is here to allow you to undo me so that I can undo what I've said and I've done, so I can clean up any messes that I have, and I can walk in the spirit of the Lord, which is liberty and freedom, and that I won't hold back my wife, and I won't hold back my husband, and I won't hold back my children, and I won't hold back anymore because I've been held back in you. And I thank you, Lord, for that new level of hope and freedom today that is released now through me, and that my eyes are open, and now I will see what it means and how to live in that blessing, how to live in that kingdom release. I'm learning more about your names. I'm learning more about your ways, your purposes, and your will. I'm learning more about having the knowledge that's working for me, the knowledge of heaven, the revelatory spirit in heaven coming to earth, coming and gripping me, descending right now on me. The spirit of revelation, the spirit of wisdom right now, descending, increasing in me, and descending in me, in my life, in my world, in my tribe. And my tribe, Lord God, is the tribe of the Spirit of God. And that's most important. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's sing Ascribe Unto the Lord. And Lord is going to seal it in our hearts today. Lord, I thank you for the divine release, for your healing power and presence, and your delivering power and anointing right now. Thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word, for the discovery right now that we're making in heavenly places of the greatness of you. And Lord, next time we meet, Lord, there's going to be a change in me, because I can't wait to worship you in spirit and in truth at home, here, and things will change and everyone will see it, because I've been changed and I've been transformed. Let's be on our feet and let's sing out Ascribe Unto the Lord.
The Lord, all power and
can you turn Jamie up, please, the way it was, Andy, before? Representing you, the privilege of seeing you demonstrate and manifest yourself through our lives, every place that we are, Lord God, and that our eyes would be on you, and that we would spend time with you, and
and have great care for what you want to establish in our hearts, Lord God, for our priorities, Lord, need to be looked at by you, increased by you from heaven to earth. We just thank you, Lord, for that today, and thank you for the establishment of your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And we all said, amen, and so be it. Amen.